High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright.
Welcome, virgins, video store workers, investigative journalists, jealous ex-boyfriends. Oh, and an extra special shout out to all you fans of horror out there. This is High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez. And the party's at my place this evening. But first, let's chat about your homework.
This was your assignment, and I would like to see the results.
Today's a big day. Today is the first day of your sophomore year. We made it. Didn't think we'd get this far, did ya?
She doesn't look like a freshman.
Sophomore, dude, sophomore! Fully aged sophomore me.
It's gonna be the best school year ever. And you want to start off the school year right, don't you? You know what that means. Did you do your homework? Did you hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts? Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify. Did you give us that 5-star rating? Did you leave us a review? Did you like, follow, subscribe to all of our great social media pages? High School Slumber Party, pretty much everywhere. Facebook, Instagram. What's the one I'm missing? Twitter, obviously. Thanks for your participation, guys. I really appreciate it. I've been noticing, I don't know, maybe it's the excitement in the air, that crisp fall breeze hitting your face, but I've been noticing the class participation go up, and I really appreciate it, because you know I love hearing from you guys. I don't know, seemed like you at least enjoyed last week's movie, The Way Way Back. Of course, our guests on last week's episode were the founders of this very network, Joey Lewandowski, the godfather himself, and Mike Manzi. And if you didn't listen to it, you want to check it out, because we had a great time. But I know some of you did, and I appreciate the positive feedback. Just on the movie, though, I don't know, this one seemed to be a movie that people really, really dug. M. Mueller, 1136, on Instagram commented, "One of the many great movies you are in, Sam Rockwell." I guess they were talking about Sam Rockwell, but not us. Still, couldn't agree more. Sam Rockwell is a gem in this film. He is a legend. Please dance, dance, dance some more, Sam Rockwell. Darren on Facebook pulled a quote from the film, one that made me laugh. And I quote, or Darren quote, somebody quote, "It's called procrastination. I read about it in a book about it." Neil on Facebook shared his Letterboxd review with us, which was awesome. I loved reading it. I love reading Letterboxd reviews, so don't be afraid to share those. Good idea, Neil. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're sophomores now. You know better than that. The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. I know it's Friday, and wait a minute, as I look at my calendar, it's Friday the 13th. Oh my god, yes, it is. How could I forget? Well, I guess it makes a lot of sense then that today's movie is... No, not Friday the 13th. That is not a high school film. Instead, we are ushering in the Halloween season early with a classic. How about a little Scream action for you? The film today is Scream. On Twitter, actually, Lauren K. told us Scream was one of her favorite scary movies. Well, Lauren, I hope you enjoy today's episode, and thanks for tweeting at us. So joining us today, or I should say, I was joining them, and their lovely beagle Gus, if I might say so myself. But our guests today are returning guests, husband and wife Dan and Autumn Ferrara. I had the pleasure last year of ushering in the Halloween season early with them for, well, the film Halloween, another classic. Hope you did your homework this week, because this is a monumental film, this is a classic film, and I think this is a film you're going to enjoy rewatching if you hadn't already. But if you can't sense in my voice, despite the optimism, I'm at one tired guy. It's been a long week. So pack your favorite jammies, tell your mother you're sleeping with O'Briens, because we're about to get our party on. That's weird. We rarely ever get calls on the High School Slumber Party hotline. Hello, High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school films. This is Brian. How can I help you?
What's your favorite scary movie?
Good question, and thanks for participating. I don't really watch scary movies. I mostly watch high school films, and yeah, a lot of them are scary movies, but it's kind of a genre that I've, I don't want to say avoided, but just didn't get into as much as other people. I'm really excited, though, that this podcast has given me the opportunity to watch some of these films, and there's some that I've really, really enjoyed. Scary movies? I'm not so sure. I liked Halloween, we watched that last year. Scream? Honestly, well, I don't want to spoil too much, but I did rather enjoy it. I don't know, but if it's me, if it's Friday night, you'll find me watching a John Cusack film. Maybe Say Anything?
I like that movie. It was scary.
Say Anything? Really? Well, now that you mention it, teenagers making those, like, deep of decisions, ugh, they're, like, committing to each other for life, and I don't know. You're right. Scary, stressful. I can't disagree with you. Thank you so much for calling. Like I said, no one ever uses the hotline. Really appreciate it. Well, I gotta get to the episode now.
Don't hang up on me.
Whoa, take a chill pill, man. I really, again, appreciate the call. I love all of our listeners. I love the slumberers. And class participation is a huge part of your grade. But you don't need to get testy. You can email us at highschoolslumberparty@gmail.com. That's a good way to get in contact with me. And again, if you want to really, really, really help out the show, tell a friend about High School Slumber Party. Let them know about all the awesome things we're doing here. I really, really appreciate it. That's the best way to spread the love and joy is by spreading it through word of mouth. Hope I answered your question, and hopefully you can call back soon or another time on our High School Slumber Party hotline.
You hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
Wow, testy, I haven't hung up on you yet, but I will now. Whew. Sorry about that. I don't know if that's a disgruntled John Cusack fan or some freshman that didn't graduate to sophomore year, but hopefully that's over. Class dismissed. I don't know.
Podcast would be, it would be me and Dan getting drunk doing it in our living room.
And just trying to figure out who the actors are and where we know them from.
And then we'd never record it, and it would just be us doing it for ourselves.
It's still fun. It's still a fun night. Honestly,
the idea it's like the idea of like even like the drunk history thing.
Yeah,
it's like that only works. Like, oh, we're gonna get drunk and talk about history. That only works if you have a sober team behind you.
Sober team behind you.
Anything you try to do drunk is not gonna turn out okay.
But the spin on it would be again, it's fun for you. You know. That's mostly why people podcast.
I don't
podcast.
Have the actual gumption to hammer down my own podcast
I don't even think
at this point.
We've just learned how to locate...
I download podcasts.
Yeah. We just learned how to locate them, let alone broadcast our own.
That's your podcast?
Millennials raised as boomers pretending to figure out.
Well, guys, again, I'm happy to have you
here.
Yeah. I said, keep it in. I mean, it's not live. Relax.
No, I didn't know
if it's funny, I'll keep it in. If it's if not, I'll just go from here. But, guys, I'm so happy to be here. I feel like it's become a high school slumber party tradition to usher in the early Halloween season by coming here and talking about a classic horror film.
I'm glad we could be part of it.
Last year, I stopped by for Halloween, and today we have another classic film. And by the way, this episode comes out September 13th, a little early for Halloween. But I said, we gotta have a scary movie this day because it is Friday the 13th.
Oh, appropriate. Totally
yes.
appropriate.
And I was like, let's do Friday the 13th. But that is not a high school film, I learned. Yeah.
Well, fun fact, when I found out about your podcast, Scream was my initial first reaction to a movie I wanted to do. And you were like, that's not a high school film. And it is.
I wasn't sure. I wasn't
totally
sure.
Is.
I, you know, I'll reveal this. I had not seen Scream front to back ever. You know?
Oh, see, I had it on VHS when I was like 10, and I used to watch it like every day.
So you're going to be very helpful today, Autumn. And of course, you know, you guys have been on the show before, but I'll remind you, introduce yourselves, name, high school, all that jazz. Dan, you've been on a ton of time, so why don't you go first?
Sure. My name's Dan Ferrara. I'm a classmate of Brian's. When did we graduate? Graduated 05 from Northern Valley Regional High School, Old Tappan. Go Golden Knights.
I'm Autumn Ferrara, and...
She was Agate last time.
I was.
Bro.
Autumn Ferrara, and I went to... Hamilton High School East. I was a Steinert Spartan.
Go Spartans.
Yeah.
So, again, I know it's early, especially when we're recording this, but any plans for Halloween this year? I feel like you guys really get into the Halloween thing, so.
Well, we've
I'm
had
curious.
Our Halloween costumes planned since like January.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for your gaucho pants to go on sale, but then we're totally on it.
Gaucho pants.
Is that a clue
Isn't
for.
Is that what they're called?
I thought they were.
Culottes. Oh,
culottes. Well, isn't a gaucho like a Mexican cowboy?
Welcome to Pants Podcast, guys.
I know nothing about shopping. That's why
you know
I
know nothing
keep
about
you
Mexican cowboys.
I don't know. I think that makes sense. I've heard of gaucho pants before.
I feel like that's a thing too, but
are you
that's
wearing
not,
assless chaps?
That's
for
not
are you allowed to say what you're gonna be, or is this a secret? Is the gaucho pants?
No, we don't even have plans. Like for
not
like
doing we're just gonna sit inside.
It's gonna be us dressing up. Maybe we'll take an Instagram picture because no one's invited us to anything yet. So, invite us to your Halloween parties so I can wear my culottes.
You guys heard it here first. Contact Dan and Autumn.
Begging for your invites.
Any, are you going to go with the same, not that they're bad or anything, same decorations here, or maybe start something new, hypothesize something?
We want to up the game a little
up
bit.
The game.
Actually, my cousin is assistant manager at Spirit Halloween this season.
Oh, wow, you
so,
got a hookup, you got
so
a connection.
So I'm planning on using her employee discount. Thanks, Allison. I'm sure she'll be watching this because Scream is also one of her favorite movies.
I wonder how she watches a podcast.
Well, as you guys have shown, podcast experts here.
With her imagination.
She has synesthesia.
Exactly.
She has synesthesia.
She's
it's
watching
really
it with her imagination.
I hope all you guys out there are watching with your imaginations today. Scream, again, classic movie, and it's a very, very important film, not just in the genre, but for this podcast, and I'll explain a little bit more later. But as you said, when was the first time each of you watched Scream? Do you even remember?
I saw it in the movie theater,
wow.
actually, with my Aunt Robin and my Uncle Glenn, who is now deceased. But, yeah, we went and saw it, and I was like, this is awesome.
1996.
Yeah, I was probably in, like, second or third grade.
Jeez.
I don't remember the first time I've seen it. You know what it was? It was on HBO, and at the time we had a gray cable box that went up to Channel 99. And we had HBO on it. And when it did come out on HBO, it was on all the time. So you just kind of continually watched it?
Osmosis. Autumn, you mentioned that you had the VHS.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it. I do still have my VCR, but I am not able to locate the VHS.
Oh my god, I actually have more gifts for you. You reminded me when you said VCR. I'll be right back.
Okay. Oh, Gus gets so sad every time Brian leaves. He'll be back. Your buddy be back.
He's still recording. It's really funny when Brian's going through this. And you're, don't worry, Gus. He'll be back.
I hope he pressed pause.
Gus can press pause.
Very talented. I'm crying.
All right, sorry, had to run out to the car. Dan, you most recently were on our Starship Troopers podcast.
I was.
And I don't know if you own this, but recently, friend of the podcast, sorry, catching my breath.
Quick drink.
And host here on the Cage Club Podcast Network, Joe Two, recently, I don't know, acquired a bunch of VHSs at some sort of swap meet. So we were in the trunk of his car. Not in it, but looking at it. A bunch of us from the network. And let's just say I'm not allowed to bring more junk into the house. So the things I got were gifts for people. I'm not sure if you own this, Dan, but I figured as a gift for you being on my last episode, Starship Troopers, VHS.
The VHS?
Yes.
I do have the Blu-rays, but not
now
the
now you own
the
VHS.
I worked really hard hooking that VCR up all by myself.
There you go.
So now you can
watch
it.
She did it herself.
And
I plugged those wires in all on my own.
There you go. And you have a way to play it. And we mentioned this movie on the podcast, The Full Metal Jacket.
Oh, awesome. That is fantastic.
Just remembered.
You want to know what's funny? When we were doing the Starship Troopers thing, we were doing like the follow-up movie, like what you would put in afterwards. And
yeah.
I said, with Denise Richards, Wild Things with Neve Campbell. Boom, Neve Campbell's in Scream.
Yeah, it's true.
Meant to be.
Everything is connecting in the High School Slumber Party universe.
Giant web.
Sorry, you mentioned the VCR. I remembered I'd forgot to give it, but we got to give it on the podcast.
Well,
so
I'm glad that
all good.
No, that jogged
your memory.
Thank you very much.
But for those of you not familiar with Scream, I have looked up a picture of the VHS, and I will read out loud what Scream's all about, according to, I believe this is the first release VHS. From the first name of suspense comes the last word in fear. Sydney Prescott has a lot on her plate. It's hard enough being a teenager coming of age in today's world, let alone having a boyfriend with raging hormones, a father whose life is one business trip after another, and still feel healthy when your mother was brutally murdered 1 year ago. It's very odd to equate those things.
Yeah.
Just when things seem to be getting back to normal for Sydney and her friends, the small town of Woodsboro is once again plagued by a killer, someone who is taking their love of scary movies one step too far. To survive, they must follow the golden movie rules. Don't answer the door, don't leave the house, don't answer the phone, but most of all, don't scream. And I found that interesting because those aren't the rules that they're given.
Yeah, no,
in
those
the
aren't
film.
The rules at all. Yeah.
No.
I wrote down some of the rules. Now, there's some variations of this online. Sex equals death. Never drink or never do drugs. Never say I'll be right back.
Because you won't be. You'll be dead.
And these were, like, listed at other points in the film. Everyone is a suspect. You will not survive if you ask who's there. And you will not survive if you go out to investigate a strange noise. Do you agree with these rules?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it seems about right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it
and
makes
if you're,
sense.
If you're a minority, you're probably first to go. They don't mention that.
They don't say that.
And they've
kind of
changed. As horror movies kind of picked up on that, they've gone to flip that.
Yeah,
a
I mean, that's
bit.
Usually like the joke of the, the movie.
That was the other thing. How much my
oh,
young
damn.
Childhood
yeah.
mind got this and Scary Movie, the spoof,
yeah.
confused, waiting for other things.
I was
going to
say
that.
That.
My memories have kind of merged, and I wasn't
no,
sure which was which.
I could not figure out who the killer was, because I had gotten Scary Movie confused with this. Ironically, and we'll get into it a little bit, this movie was originally titled Scary Movie when it was written.
That was one of my corny I have so many corny facts about this movie that I know, and that was one of the ones I was telling Dan.
Yeah, I got a cool little behind the scenes of...
I didn't realize how many corny facts I knew until we watched the movie, but I
feel free. Feel free to divulge.
Well, the biggest one, so I love Drew Barrymore. Love her. She's awesome. But she was originally supposed to be, like, Neve Campbell's part.
Yeah.
And, like, 5 days before they started shooting, she decided to drop out and not do it because usually you're, like, big name star doesn't die in the first 5 minutes. You know, you expect them to be the lead character. And, you know, with them putting her on the cover and everything, she thought it would make for a good twist. So that was all her idea.
Yeah, and that was...
And her wig, she asked to wear because she wanted to look like Michelle Pfeiffer in Scarface.
Oh, really? Yeah. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that was an awful wig.
But you hit the nail on the head. The Drew Barrymore thing is iconic, and we're definitely going to do a deep dive into that scene. This was written by a guy, though, named Kevin Williamson, who went on to be a screenwriter for a lot of things, but this was one of his first screenplays. He based it on something called the Gainesville Ripper. Never heard of it? It's a real killer?
But I have not.
I have no idea. Enlighten us, please.
No, I'm not too sure. Just Gainesville.
Well, then why'd you bring it up?
No, I looked it up quickly. I wasn't familiar with it.
Is there a serial cop podcast, serial killer podcast on the...
I'm sure there's 19
thousands of
them. On the Cage Club Network?
Not on our podcast network, but that's the most common podcast you can get.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So guys out there, your true crime fans, let me know who the Gainesville Ripper is, if it's actually a big thing or not, whatever. He was obviously
a Jesse
huge...
and the Rippers.
Yes, Jesse and the Rippers, classic. He was obviously a huge fan of horror movies and wanted to reflect that, and he actually mapped out all the sequels after he wrote the screenplay as well, so he could sell it as a series, which he did.
Series sucks, though. Like, they all are so bad after
are
the
they? I mean,
one.
I've never seen any other ones.
They're all so bad.
I know they're all directed by the same man, which is very rare in a horror franchise, Wes Craven, of course.
Who makes a cameo in the film.
Does he? Where is he?
He's the janitor dressed as Freddy Krueger.
Oh, really? That's funny. And, of course, Wes Craven, most famously of Nightmare on Elm Street, but one of your favorites, Dan, too, Vampire in Brooklyn, also the director of that. I know you're a big fan of that film. No, Dan, I'm kidding, honestly.
I was trying to think,
you're like, am I? No!
I'm trying to think, what did I say?
This is where everybody should use their imagination. Picture Dan's stupid face right now.
Bewilderment. I was like, no, I just picked the most silliest thing on there. I think he also directed Music of My Heart.
See, that one is...
No, but of course, he's one of the kings of horror and gore. Famously in this film, too, he had to submit 8 different cuts to tone down the gore.
Yeah, it was originally NC-17 rating, and he, like, didn't want to cut anything. It was just ready to let it ride, but I guess somebody cut it out.
I don't know if they've ever released an NC-17 or an unrated version of this film, but I'd be very curious, because I think it still has a decent amount of gore.
Yeah.
For like a
mainstream
movie.
I'm curious
of
what made it NC-17,
yeah.
If it was that or sex or
they
what.
Probably showed a nipple.
A Rose McGowan sex scene, I'd be into that if that's in the original version. Oh, speaking of the garage scene, I can give you another cheesy fact with that.
Sure.
So she gets stuck in the doggy door in the movie. Mm-hmm. Well, in real life, she was so skinny that she actually kept like sliding out of it and like falling on the floor during filming. That was fake. She was faking being stuck.
Quick notes. The movie obviously was a huge success on release, and I mentioned that it's important to this podcast because, one, it brought back the horror genre. There was a good couple of years between like some of the early 80s stuff and Scream where most horror films were straight to VHS and they were not taken seriously, and most of them had unknown cast. Not saying they were bad, they just, studios didn't put backing behind them. But not just that, in my research here on High School Slumber Party, there are so many late 90s, early 2000 films that got greenlit because Scream did so well.
Oh, absolutely.
It was the first time in a while, probably since like the John Hughes era, that studios said, wow, movies about teenagers can make money. They had kind of gone the same route as horror films in terms of that they were just mostly rent for the rental market. This film, let me look up the numbers quickly.
This is when they realized that we can make movies about teenagers aimed at teenagers and profit.
Because you have Clueless in this era, but most people say Clueless was not necessarily aimed at teenagers. Like, that's a movie that a lot of people enjoyed.
Yeah, that definitely had a pretty broad spectrum.
Yeah. So the budget was $15 million, and it made $173 million, which is, again, huge for the genre. Suddenly, people were buying all these horror scripts and all these teenager, like, movie scripts. So, you know, I might not have as good a content on this podcast if it's not for Scream. Before we dive into the cast, though, I want to hit on...
Should we rewrite Clueless as a horror?
That would be very cool.
I think we can do this.
Can you see, like, the yellow thing?
Just she wears spatter. It like,
yeah.
Or, Dan, you've been talking about Clueless a lot this week.
Oh, yeah, because there was a Donald Faison moment.
That's a podcast you got to start.
That'll be the name of it, Donald Faison moments.
But let's get into that Barrymore thing, because, Autumn, you're right. Like, she was originally cast as the lead in this, eventually moves into that scene, and a lot of people say this movie got credibility from that opening scene, because all the promotion featured... most of the cast, but Drew Barrymore. People walked in thinking this was going to be a Drew Barrymore film. She was a name at the time, and bam, she gets killed in that sequence, which I think... It's a long sequence. It's at least 10 minutes long.
So yeah, it's like a 10 to 13 minute...
But,
like,
you know, and it just starts right away. There's no, like, lead-in with, like, a cutesy song or anything, you know, even a scary song. It just, boom, the phone call, the iconic, like, what's your favorite scary movie?
Hello?
Hello?
Yes?
Who is this?
Who are you trying to reach?
What number is this?
What number are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
Well, I think you have the wrong number.
Do I?
It happens. Take it easy. Hello?
I'm sorry. I guess I dialed the wrong number.
Well, so why'd you dial it again?
To apologize.
You're forgiven. Bye now.
Wait. Don't hang up.
What?
I want to talk to you for a second.
They've got 900 numbers for that. See ya. Hello?
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
Oh, just some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween. You know, the one with the guy in the white mask who walks around and stalks babysitters?
Yeah.
What's yours?
Guess.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is that the one where the guy had knives for fingers?
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's right. I like that movie. It was scary.
Well, the first one was, but the rest sucked.
So, you got a boyfriend?
Why? You want to ask me out on a date?
Maybe. Do you have a boyfriend?
No.
You never told me your name.
Why do you want to know my name?
I want to know who I'm looking at.
What did you say?
I want to know who I'm talking to.
That's not what you said.
What do you think I said? What? Hello?
Look, I gotta go.
Wait, I thought we were gonna go out.
Nah, I don't think so.
Don't hang up on me.
Yes?
I told you not to hang up on me.
What do you want?
To talk.
Well, dial someone else, okay? Listen, asshole!
No, you listen, you little bitch. If you hang up on me again, I'll gut you like a fish, understand?
Well, that's one of my favorite movie scenes of all time. When I was 14 years old, me and my friends actually... recreated the scene. I'll show it to you later if you want. Like, I word for word recreated the scene at 14.
Please
do. I have it on my phone. I'll show it to you later.
Share it with our audience. Let me share it.
I mean, I can send you the link if you want to.
Yes.
Put an audio clip of me doing it at 14 on there. I was in high school when we did it, actually.
Nothing has fit this podcast more than that. So.
Yeah, it's
true. Super embarrassing, but yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm super into it.
It made me realize I'd never had Jiffy Pop.
And then and Dan goes to me.
So cool.
When we're watching it, you know, I was telling him that, and he goes, you guys made a movie, like, with a video camera? I'm curious how else Dan thinks you make movies.
Well, I didn't know they, at the time, what you probably had your, and now I'm just ruining the joke. Your giant, ridiculous Switch phone.
No, I don't think we even had phones back then.
True. What do you call that one? Because there's the Razer.
We
but
might
the one
have.
After
I think
that,
I still had like a Nokia
3360
back then.
No, it was the T-Mobile thing. That
yeah.
Was like the full
I was
keyboard.
Playing Snake and getting charged 10 cents per text message. There was no camera on my phone.
I'll call you when my minutes are.
Yeah, call me after 9.
Oh, the days. No, we'll definitely, you know.
But even that runs into this movie, the whole cell phone thing. Is it possible to clone a cell phone?
Yeah.
Like, bring me the cellular.
Yeah, they say the cellular a lot. But this scene is, again, so iconic, so just amazing. It really sets the tone for the entire film. And again, where horror is going to go, at least in the next 5-10 years. It's awesome.
Yeah, it sets up the whole idea, like the whole no one is safe.
Yeah, I mean, her parents are literally in view of her as she's about to be murdered, on the phone with her in this house while she's being dragged. Although there's no way. There's no way that they hung her in that tree that fast before her parents found her. I'm sorry. Didn't happen.
I don't know.
We should do time trials. We'll get a dummy. See how quickly we can loop it. And because if they already had the rope hanging over a tree and they just kind of like slip-knotted it.
Maybe.
And like, if they had the second guy
there.
That
had to be so quick.
If they had the second guy there waiting.
If she would have just found a good hiding spot, she probably could have made it until her parents got there. Like, it was literally just she had a couple of minutes
Isn't
to
Isn't that
buy.
Part of the fun of horror films? Being like, oh, this could
this
happen.
This is what I would have done.
This is what I would have done, exactly.
It puts you in that situation and thinking, like, what would I do in this situation?
And yes. Like, so let's be realistic. I probably wouldn't have done anything.
Oh, I have to run? Just kill me. Just kill me.
Just do it.
I'm right here!
But it breaks a lot of the tropes of horror films. And it's funny because this movie is about the tropes of horror films. But one of them, again, is that you're casting somewhat of a very popular name at the time. You're killing her off right away. She's talking about other horror films in the film, so it's like meta like that. One that we talked about together, Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, full circle. They watch it in the movie. I guess it couldn't be any more perfect.
No, it makes too much sense. What's her character's name? Casey? And then how they have like the boyfriend out there.
Steve.
And so I watched this film a couple days ago in preparation. And then when I was doing my notes this morning, I had it on in the background. And then now that I knew who the killers were, I was like, oh, they're giving you clues throughout. Because, you know, when you first start to watch a horror film, something always goes through your head like, is this like just a murderer or is this a ghost? You know?
Right. Zoe's...
Well, they really, like, mind fuck you in this with the... Am I allowed to curse?
Yes.
All right. With the two killer thing, because that's really what makes it seem like...
Yeah, that's what
it
made
could
it totally
be,
different.
Absolutely.
It could be something supernatural.
Because Billy, even though Billy might have been, like, your first hunch...
Yeah, but again, you know, he's in jail, and yet...
And now, so there, that takes away that... But again, everyone, and Jamie Kennedy exclaims it, everybody's a suspect. It's never the most person you most think it is. Well,
only
it is.
Only in this, it was.
And that's the thing.
But it's also...
It's weird.
He was Matthew Lillard's ex-girlfriend. You know, that would be
so
your
first
hunch.
Yeah, so there's motive there.
Yeah.
It's so interesting the
and
way
Jamie
that it
Kennedy
does
calls
that.
That out, too. He's like, that's what they call motive.
You know, like, but you think because
I didn't kill anybody. Nobody said you did. Actually, Jamie Kennedy just said you did. That's the dumbest line in the movie.
It plays with something where the tropes from what we've seen in horror films in the past where, oh, well, he mentioned that that person's the killer. So how could they really be the killer? That thing where it's like...
It's hiding in plain sight.
Yeah,
like,
it's too obvious. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah. Which is how I took most of my multiple choice tests in high school. It's like, they can't all be bees. Has to be Sarah.
Anything more about that opening scene before we move on with the cast and such?
Just the actual chase of it was really animalistic. You know, it looked like a deer... Or not a deer, but like an antelope kind of running from a tiger where she's like super stressed.
That's true.
And the knife kind of, and it's very, rugged's not the term I'm looking for, but and I already said animalistic.
I know what you mean though.
It was a very Natural Geographic type kill.
Yeah.
Also, it's probably one of the last horror movies where we really had to like, cell phones weren't, you know, they're there, but not really a thing yet. It's like now every horror movie you have to explain why your cell phone doesn't work.
It's true. Right.
You know, like that one... That wasn't, like, a thing. She didn't have to explore the landline.
And it kind of
jumped. And that's it.
The whole movie kind of jumps on the phone thing. You know, that was it. That was the head of the curve. you know, teenagers having cell phones, and you know, and it, in this case, obviously not everyone did, but they had to acknowledge the fact that cell phones not only exist, but they're going to use it to their advantage in their prey, in their hunting style.
What do you think of Ghostface? Is that his name? Ghostface?
I think it's just called generic, like, Ghostface. Okay, yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of Ghostface?
On the package in the movie, I think it's called, like, Man of Death or something like that.
Yeah, but that's what, like, your cousin at Spirit Halloween, it's one of those ultra generic, you know, we all saw this mask way before this movie was ever a thing. It was just a generic ghost mask. And that also, again, it plays part into the genius where it's, in and of itself, it's the mundane and everyday. And it's these things that we always think of as mundane and everyday are suddenly becoming scary things, like answering a phone call, like, you know, flipping a light switch, or the garage door getting stuck. You know, it's they make it a point to say, hey, you could get this at any five and dime store in the county.
So was it scary to you, or does it, like...
It was probably scarier, I guess, before Scream was a thing. Mm-hmm. Now you just associate it with the movie, so, like, no, it's not. It's cheesy.
It almost looks silly when, like...
Yeah, and that scary movie really ruined it, too,
you
know?
Yes, yes. What's up,
Tom? What's up? Yeah, exactly.
Yo.
Hello, Shorty. What are you doing?
Nothing. Sitting here watching the game, smoking some bud.
Are you all alone?
What's up?
What's up? What the? Who's that?
Yo, pick up the phone. What's up?
What's up?
Yo, Duque, pick up the phone.
Exactly.
Chilling.
I'll say this though. It does. It does add to the who could the killer be element, the fact that you could get this costume anywhere.
And even it happens, the kids running down the hallways that get expelled.
The principal sitting there wearing it, making funny faces at himself and the funny noises in the mirror.
I don't know if you guys read this or saw this, but apparently the director just found this mask in one of the houses that he was location scouting at, and he like looked it up, and they're like, oh, this is just your basic mask.
It's the ubiquitous non-denominational Halloween mask. And that's what I'm saying.
Let's do that.
That was great of taking something that's everyday and not scary, and for the case of the movie, making it very scary. Then everybody that Halloween went out and got this exact same mask anyway.
And one of the reasons that the title switched to Scream from Scary Movie, again, it sounds so silly saying it now,
right,
was that when people were reading it, they weren't seeing it just as a horror film, because it's got a lot of comedy in it. There's like a whodunit element in it. So, while yes, it is a horror slasher film, there's a lot of other elements in this film that make it, like, meta and so groundbreaking at the time.
A whole satire on the...
Yeah.
Like you said, satire. The horror movie itself.
Matthew Lillard was very funny in it.
let's talk about this cast, then. You guys mentioned Neve Campbell.
Courtney Cox.
Yeah.
She meets her husband.
Yeah, Courtney Cox is
Gail
Weathers.
Yeah.
She plays that, you know, she's like the reporter, and this is where she met her husband.
Who was right?
Linda Blair is also a reporter in the movie. Back kind of in the background, but totally in it.
Huge cameo there, Exorcist. Oh, but quickly, Neve Campbell was cast out of Party of Five. Is that right?
Yeah,
she was in that?
She
okay,
was
Party
yeah.
of
Five. Yep. We had that discussion watching it, yeah.
Party of Five. She was reluctant to take the role because she had just done The Craft, and she thought it might be too similar, even though, again, very different films. Brittany Murphy and Reese Witherspoon were other two people considered for the roles at various levels.
I would have liked to see Brittany Murphy in this. That could have been interesting.
But, you know, with Brittany Murphy, it could have been a total flop, you know?
Yeah, no. It's,
yeah, you don't know. I feel like they had the right elements with this cast here. And again, you guys mentioned Courtney Cox and David Arquette. So I think I thought David Arquette did it, because is the David Arquette person, like the Dewey person in Scary Movie,
Doofy,
the person who does it? Yeah, Doofy. Is
yeah,
that
I think
one?
He is, or somehow. Yeah.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, doesn't he go on to sequels? If he's the killer, like, has no one figured it out?
All I can think of with David Arquette watching this movie is how much I really wanted to watch Ready to Rumble.
He made that comment several times while we were watching the film. So
I was actually talking about that with our mutual friend who's been on the podcast.
Jimmy King!
Chris Carroll the other day. Now, what did you think, I guess, of the Courtney Cox role here? And she had said she really wanted the role because it was very different than her friend's role. Brooke Shields and Janine Garofalo were, like,
well,
the original choices.
Dan thought she was a stone-cold fuck.
I think this is probably...
Because he spent the whole movie just talking about
she
how
looks
hot
really
she was.
Good in this movie.
I'm surprised.
Like, yeah, and I mean, I was too.
Not that she's not hot.
No, I think this is, like, the hottest she's ever been.
She's
but,
so
but
rich.
The role is super different than, I guess, your typical Courtney Cox role. Mm.
She was no Monica in this.
Yes, no. The producers did not want to hire her because they were afraid she would be too much of a Monica in this, which is so silly to think about.
No, she's a total bitch in it. I love it. But you know what? She's really not a bitch because she ended up being 100% right.
Cotton
went to prison for no reason because Neve Campbell thought she saw what she didn't see. And
her mom really was kind of...
a slut. So, yeah, Courtney Cox really wasn't as much of a bitch as... you know, made out to be by Neve Campbell and Rose McGowan.
And they try to portray her as like an in-your-face reporter, and don't get me wrong, she is. But I think we've even moved to a different level of
that.
Well,
I was going to say, we've gone so above and beyond. Like, that was the scummy tabloid reporter of the day.
Well, that was before the TMZ days.
Okay. Yeah.
But even your generic, you know, Fox News or CNN, like, those guys are way more offensively absurd and, you know, privacy invading. She's a bitch. She's not hacking phones and emails, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, she did plant a camera inside this house party, so...
a hidden camera the size of a friggin' book.
Right, like, on top of where everyone's staring.
Yeah, she wasn't like... Yeah, you know, that's the equivalent of Homer Simpson walking in with a 10-gallon hat filming the dirty Quickie Mart hot dog.
Again, we mentioned Rose McGowan, who plays Tatum, I guess her name is.
Yeah.
She's Dewey's... younger sister, which I didn't remember till this watch. Because, and they have a... I like their element. Because does Dewey still live at home?
Yeah, definitely.
He's a 25-year-old kid.
Like. Yeah, because when the night when, you know, Sydney gets called by the killer and she's sleeping over Tatum's house, Dewey walks out of his room, like, all disheveled with his gun. Like, what? And, like, you missed it.
I feel bad for Dewey. Like, the whole... like, just the amount of disrespect his sister, like, just bitches him out in front of his, like,
Dan, like, said he would have slapped her.
Like, say, not like an abusive relationship thing, but, like, brother-sister rivalry. If my sister pulled that shit in front of my boss, I'm definitely... we're getting...
Yeah,
we're
what does he say?
Fight.
He's like, oh, you know, that's my superior. He's like, the janitor's your superior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich, or Ulrich, plays Billy Loomis.
Yeah, and now he's on Riverdale.
Yeah, he's on Riverdale
so
now.
That's,
and he looks,
you know,
exactly
this,
the same.
This movie drove him to the gang life. He's now Southside Serpent.
He was also in The Craft, and he was cast because he reminded people of Johnny Depp in the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
I said that while we were watching the movie, and she goes, I don't think that's a reason they cast him. I said, I think he looks like Johnny Depp on purpose.
That's what the internet said, what the internet says is true.
Well, I can't argue with the internet. You win this
never,
one.
Never. You can never argue with the internet.
I can't. If it's on the internet, it must be true.
Apparently, rumor has it, Joaquin Phoenix turned down the role. That would have been interesting. Matthew Lillard, as we mentioned, high school film legend.
Yeah.
He's
Heart
in so many of
throb.
These. He's great. I love Matthew Lillard. Anytime we'll give him a shout out when we
see him.
We
were going to ask you about SLC Punk.
That's not a high school movie, though. We weren't going to ask him about that.
I don't know if it's a high school movie.
It's not. They're in college.
Right?
They
okay, that's what
right.
I thought.
They are.
Yeah. It was covered on another show on this podcast, and I was going to ask them about it. We did Hackers with Matthew Lillard, though. We've done we've done a bunch of Matthew Lillard films, and we'll continue to do more because he's a pretty cool dude. of course, we mentioned Jamie Kennedy as well, and I forgot he was in this.
This is probably like his coolest role.
Definitely.
I'll be honest.
Definitely.
Malibu's Most Wanted didn't do it for you.
I'm Malibu's Most Wanted, y'all. Kid Car ain't got nothing on me! Ah!
And he did it for me, but he wasn't that cool.
He didn't have the red fuzzy shoes that he has at the party here, that's why.
And he was just like this great character because he was like the horror fan that
worked at the video
that
store.
That worked at the video store.
Yeah.
I love that scene when they're in the video store, you know. It's just, I like
that. No,
him
he did really, like I said, that was, I can't, like I said, you know, Hollywood wasn't kind to Jamie Kennedy, but he did. He did well in this movie.
Of course, Henry Winkler, we mentioned, is the principal.
Okay, the most believable thing in this movie, after the first set of murders, they have like the meeting at school and they're going to close early. And over the loudspeaker, Henry Winkler goes, "Remember, students, your principal loves you and wants you to be safe." If Henry Winkler was my principal, I would absolutely believe him the second he said that, because he's one of the nicest people alive, I'm convinced.
Speaking of the high school, there's a moment when they're walking in and Dewey goes to her, "Oh, it's okay, Sid, you're at school now, you'll be safe."
Yeah.
You're safe here. Not
school,
something
you're
you can say anymore.
That aged terribly.
Sad, but very true. I mean, but school should be a place of safety. Oh, do we see Liev Schreiber in this one? Because he goes on to play the guy who... his name was listed in the credits, but I don't remember seeing him. He goes on to play the guy that, what's her name, Neve Campbell, put in jail?
Cotton.
Yeah, Cotton.
He's, like, on, like, they show, like, a TV thing with him. So he's like in it because they show him on the TV screen, but he's not actually in it.
Yeah, because he goes on to play this guy.
He's also like blonde and clean shaven, which is like never how you.
That's
see
why I didn't really see him.
But yeah, he's like on the TV. They like show him like. Yeah, like
being walked out to.
Yeah,
he got put to death. He was getting gassed.
Yeah, but he doesn't get put to get death because he's in the sequel.
Oh.
Yeah, he does eventually the sequels, and I was confused because I thought they had recasted him because he's like a successful actor later. I wouldn't think that he was just put in like a little TV sequence
for a
there.
Bit, yeah.
But I mean, if they knew they were going to create a series out of it,
I guess so.
They had it all planned out already.
And I just want to mention Roger Jackson. I don't know really who that is, but he plays the voice. Of, like, what's your favorite scary movie?
And I know, like, a big thing was they didn't want any of the cast to, like, actually meet him because they wanted it to have, like, a scarier effect on the actresses
voice,
and stuff.
Yeah. I guess that makes
like,
sense.
Like, while they were acting. So, yeah, they, like, purposely kept them, like, separated from each other. I guess so they didn't, like, develop any sort of relationship. I don't know.
I love that idea, though. And it's something where, like, his voice has become an iconic voice.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I don't know if I've seen future Scream films or, like, any of them.
Yeah, I don't know if I've ever seen any of the sequels.
They're so not good. They're really bad. Really bad. And then, like, all the ones that were, I want to say recent, but, you know, no, they're not that recent.
And this is coming from someone who loves, like, Autumn loves cheesy and
I love terrible
movies.
Like, I love
So for her to say it's bad and, like, not even...
Yeah. Oh, the, like, ones, bad the more recent ones, too, like, where they're, I want to say, you know, anything past 2012. Oh, they're so awful. The MTV series, awful.
Okay, so there's four films and an MTV series, right?
I guess. What was that? There was like a recent one where it was like a whole new. It was like Sydney's cousin or something that has like a house party, and then Sydney shows up, or I don't. It was so bad.
Wow. Yeah, that doesn't sound good. So, I mean, big cast here. This is not like your. Again, cheesy horror film.
No,
big
yeah, there's a lot. You kind of said it. Yeah, there's a lot. You know, as you're going, oh yeah, him and him. It's like you almost forget who's in it.
So aside from the opening scene and the party scene that leads to the ending that we'll get to later, any moments that you really liked or enjoyed or favorite scenes or anything about the film you want to talk about, really?
Well, I'll say back to after the first murder's committed. And they're all sitting around the fountain after class, like saying, like discussing, like their theories on why Drew Barrymore got killed, and it's all kind of played out for you right there in a weird way. You know, it's a Jamie Kennedy saying like, you used to date her, that's motive.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying I killed anybody. I am. And then.
All students are encouraged to return to their homes promptly from school ground. Avoid strangers. Walk in twos and threes.
I will see you tomorrow. Well, they asked me if I knew Casey.
Hey, they asked if you like to hunt?
Yeah, they did. They asked you?
Hunt? Why would they ask you if you like to hunt?
Because their bodies were gutted.
Thank you, Randy.
They didn't ask me if I like to hunt.
It's because there's no way a girl could have killed them.
That is so sexist. The killer could easily be female. Basic instinct.
That was an ice pick. Not exactly the same thing. Yeah, Casey and Steve were completely hollowed out. And the fact is, it takes a man to do something like that.
Or a man's mentality. How do you gut someone?
You take a knife, and you slit them from groin to sternum.
Hey, it's called tact, you fuck rag.
Hey, Stu, didn't you used to date Casey?
Yeah, for like 2 seconds, before she dumped him for Steve.
I thought you dumped her for me.
I did. He's full of shit.
And are the police aware that you dated the victim?
Hey, what are you saying? That I killed her?
It would certainly improve your high school kill.
Stu was with me last night, okay?
Yeah, it was.
Ooh. Was that before or after?
He sliced and diced.
Fuck you, Nutcase. Where were you last night?
Working. Thank you.
Oh, at the video store? I thought they fired your sorry ass.
Twice.
No, I didn't kill anybody.
Nobody said you did.
Thanks, buddy.
Besides, it takes a man to do something like that.
Yo, I'm gonna gut your ass in a second, kid.
Tell me something.
Did you really put her liver in the mailbox? Because I heard that they found her liver in the mailbox next to her spleen and her pancreas.
Randy, you goon fuck, I'm trying to eat here. Right?
Just getting mad, right? Better liver alone. Liver alone!
How they're saying, like, yeah, they're interviewing everybody, and they're asking all the guys, like, do you hunt? Because the way she was cut open, and they're like, why couldn't a woman do that? And they're like, oh, a woman wouldn't have the stomach for it. And then Billy goes on to describe how exactly, is it Billy or Matthew Lillard? One of them goes on to describe exactly how you field dress a kill. And it's like, okay, well.
Earlier in this podcast, you were talking exactly how you would hang up a dead body on a tree.
True.
Should I suspect you for murder?
Not yet.
I think if he was going to commit a murder, that wouldn't be how we do it anyway.
How would you do it? No.
Finish your drink.
I'd sink my killer beagle on them, of course.
It'd be great if I just, like, ended the podcast here. Just, yeah, like, people are like, what the hell?
You hear a thud and it's like, go get the bleach.
Yeah, you know, we're getting all the info and it's kind of like an info dump. But that, again, I felt like a first-time watcher watching this. So I'm like, okay, well, these people are pretty much eliminating themselves from the ones who did it because they're all talking about it. I thought it might be Jamie Kennedy, but obviously we.
When was the last time you saw the movie?
A while ago. Years.
Yeah, it's probably been years since I've seen it too, but I guess because I watched it so many times.
Yeah, no, you're an expert.
In my younger life that I vividly remembered a lot and could just quote scenes from it without realizing that I could do that.
I mean, is it fair to say it's one of the formative films of your
childhood? Oh, definitely. It's in my childhood. Definitely my like top five favorite movies of all time. Like, whenever, you know, anybody would ask me, that's definitely on the list of answers.
Any other early or middle scenes that tickled your fancy? I mean, there's odd, like, you know, what's his name? What's Skeet's name? Skeet. What a silly name.
That's Billy. Skeet.
That's Billy, okay.
Billy, yeah.
When Billy, you know,
crawls through her window,
yeah,
and she's wearing,
window.
Like, her pioneer,
her
like, pajamas? What? Typing on her, like, brick computer? She's probably playing Oregon Trail.
But
definitely
even,
playing Oregon
Trail.
Even just
how the whole movie, Billy just speaks in movie, not movie quotes per se, but like movie rhetoric. And, you know, it's like, oh, well, we, you know, we were
a
heavy
The Exorcist.
Yeah, we started our relationship as a heavy R, and now we're kind of at, you know, a PG-13 rating. It's,
yeah.
What an asshole. Like, her mom just died. And also, her mom, it's the anniversary of her mom's death. Like, why is her dad going on a business trip? Like, your daughter is obviously still, like, majorly fucked up about this.
And
you should probably be there
and
right
every
then.
One of her friends are, it's the anniversary of the 1 year her mother got brutally raped and murdered. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, like, not like your friends understanding, like, hey, I know this is a tough time of year for you. It's like, hey, get over it.
Yeah.
Just be done. You can't cry the whole time.
Even Billy is saying, like, well, when my parents, you know, got divorced, I got over it. Like, yeah, that's not the same thing.
And you obviously didn't get over it because you just...
Hey, remember the time your mom died? Want to bang? Like, that's like... It's the really awkward vibe they're all putting out on poor Sid.
And she, you know, she allows, like, oh, let's do some over-the-shirt stuff. And you're right, like, oh, okay, this is the virgin character.
Right.
You know, they're giving us that early. Like you said, this where they're just all chatting... Like, the whodunit element of it. The video store scene is pretty cool. Who gets killed next?
So, they kill Casey, and then the next person to die is the principal.
Yeah.
Because at the party, they say, like...
Well, like, they come after Sydney, so they know that there's a killer on the loose.
Oh, yeah, okay, so there's that first home invasion.
Right,
yeah, she
gets
like,
away.
Takes her nap. Yeah, then the principal dies, so, like, everyone leaves the house.
Also,
and then
really
that's where it really kicks
screwed
off.
Screwed up reaction. They're all at the party, and they're like, oh, they get the phone call, like, that the principal's been murdered.
And they're so excited about it.
And not only is he murdered, is that he was murdered and strung up and hung from the goalpost. And like, let's go get him before we tear him down. Like,
which is
like,
screwed up.
You're just a shitty person.
I actually read a note on that scene, or the whole principal dying. Originally...
He was the nicest principal ever.
Originally, he wasn't
was
supposed
he?
To die.
Was he, though?
I don't know.
He said your principal loves you and wants you to be safe.
He does creepily touch Sydney's face when she's brought in for her turn.
That is
with
true.
With the police.
Yeah, I wonder if that's just like a different time type thing. Like,
I guess. I don't know. But he's like, you know, making the boogeyman faces in the mirror. That's kind of fucked up.
I don't know. I refuse to believe Henry Winkler or anything.
And so the scene with him getting murdered was added because it would have been the Drew Barrymore kill. And then not a kill to, like, your ending
till
kills.
Your last act, anyway, yeah.
And they decided to do that for pacing, but it also helped solve a different problem, because they weren't sure in the script how to get most of the party to leave the house. So what you're talking about was written in so they could all, like, get out of there so you could, you know, set the scene for more of a traditional, not, like, chasing 90 people.
And that's also how they discovered the time delay on the
Because, well at one point, when does the best friend, like Rose McGowan, get killed?
Oh, I guess...
She's killed before they leave.
Because she they don't, is,
but still at the party,
but the
right?
The principal is still killed before her.
Yeah.
Technically. Okay. You know. But I say they only find her when everybody's leaving, because that's how they exit the garage. And they're like, oh. But her whole fight in the garage is interesting to me.
How many bottles she throws at his face and he's just getting up like nothing? Okay.
Yeah, he got hit in the balls and dead in the face with a full beer bottle. It's like, you're not just going to shake that off. I got cracked in the head with a bottle in college. I had a concussion from it.
It's crazy because we're like, you know, this is a great movie, but we're not struggling. But it's just, we're not talking so much about what happens before the party, because the party is most of the film.
Yeah, a lot of it's just...
It's an hour long.
It's just that film. It's building to that moment. It's, and not in, I don't know how to describe it, because a lot of the in-between is Gail, the reporter, kind of pumping Dewey. They're almost like building their relationship. He's pumping her for, or she's pumping him for information. Like, you know, you look like a kid. Does the force require you to work out? You know, you're like, oh, my boyish charm, I have to do it, you know.
And chemistry was real chemistry, because it was. They were feeling that sexual tension on screen.
I was too.
Clearly. Did you wish you were Dewey?
I like his mustache. Mine's not dark enough to...
Is that the character you relate to most, Dewey?
Probably.
No, he's more like...
probably Jimmy Kennedy.
Doofy.
Yeah.
Sticking my wiener...
Let's get real.
Sticking my wiener in vacuum cleaners.
Oh, is that why there's the suck it in the closet? Sorry, that was an office joke.
Yeah.
You know, that David
Wallace
invention?
No, I get it, but I don't think anybody...
I'm sure everybody in the world watches The Office.
Okay, so I guess we'll just jump to this party. I mean, it's an awesome scene. The reason they're having the party is because they decide... Well, one of the reasons they decide to close school, and there's a curfew on everybody, which everyone celebrates, despite the fact that you should probably be scared that you might get murdered.
But there's even that idea, like, safety in numbers.
True.
You know?
Dewey sort of protects the party because he knows what's going on, and he...
Encourages underage drinking.
Essentially, encourages underage drinking. He wants to be the cool older brother.
Well, he just wants the cool, like, look up to
and then
Gale.
Lets them all go and drive.
No, they didn't let them go and drive. He said, be careful driving.
Gail, like, shows up. She finds a scoop on the party, and then he ends up, like, walking her through, and that's when she puts the video. Some things I noticed were, you know, they're watching all these horror films. Someone mentions that, well, first of all, side note, the homes in this town are beautiful.
Yeah, we said the same thing.
We were trying to figure out where in
it
California.
It has to be somewhere in California, like wine country or something.
We want
to
know what Sydney's
the views,
dad...
Like, yeah. I'm like,
we want to know what Sydney's dad does, what business trip he's really going on.
He's on business, Dan.
He's going to the Expo.
Enough?
The Expo.
The Expo. Yeah.
He's staying at that hotel by the airport.
All important information. One thing that I was a little... like, OMG'd about, which I did not realize. So I haven't covered All the Right Moves on this podcast, but I did it for one of our sister podcasts, Fridays Are Fun, the Tom Tom Club, Cruise Club, where they talk about Tom Cruise movies.
So you can't really see his wiener?
I didn't see it when I was on that podcast
for
All the Right Moves.
You have to fuzz it just right, Brian.
I didn't know, but now when I do All the Right Moves, now I know what I'm talking about.
Now you're scoping for Tom Cruise wiener.
Because I was like... it's going to be tough because I did it on someone else's podcast. I'm going to have to talk about it again. I'll do it like in, you know, a year or so. But now...
You just have this this back catalog of Tom Cruise wiener conversations?
I need to pause.
Has his wiener come up more than once on your show?
No, never. But I'm saying now it will. When we do All the Right Moves, that's amazing. I mean...
I've never actually seen that movie, so... I don't
think a lot of people have of our generation. I don't think it was like... crossed over. I mean, again, I saw it, but I didn't pause there. I didn't know. And I looked it up. Apparently that was like a big thing. Like, people would rent that movie just like, oh, let's hit pause on that. I don't know.
I feel like more people our age were pausing Little Mermaid during the wedding sequence to see the priest boner.
As weird as that is.
Was that a thing?
That was totally a thing.
I mean, I know that, but yeah. I didn't realize that many people were out there doing that.
It's there.
At the party, they also mention our favorite Jamie Lee Curtis as the Scream Queen.
Oh, yeah.
They bring up a lot of her other films.
And her boobs.
Speaking of boobs, I don't know if you... Was it me or were, like, Rose McGowan's nipples hard when they were, like...
Oh, in the garage. Okay.
I say they were glass cutters.
I was like, what is... Yeah. Am I seeing something?
Like, they were almost like, there was...
like, ridiculous. Like, they were, like, fake nips.
They were
nips.
Probably fake nips.
Like, I was like, this is aggressive. Like, is
it
very
aggressive.
Cold?
It's a garage. She's holding a bunch of cold beers.
And, I mean, we've already talked about her murder. Anything else you want to add in regards to her?
There's no garage door opener that's going to lift up a grown woman.
Really?
I don't believe so.
Someone as small to fit through the doggy door.
Maybe like an if it was like a service bay for like trucks.
That could be your podcast, like garages.
Yeah, which garage doors? Garage doors for
this old garage. Oh, just some of the other movie facts, because I'm a movie junkie that they mention. They say that Jamie Lee Curtis didn't show her tits until Trading Places, quote unquote. I thought that was interesting. Because that's not even a horror film.
I was going to say, yeah, that's...
Something about Meg Ryan, or even a... Why can't this be a Meg Ryan film, or a good porno, was another line.
Right, because well, Billy was telling Sydney how, like, the whole almost like the Shakespeare-type thing, like, oh, life's a stage, and it's like...
Oh, yeah, like, oh my God,
like,
what a loser.
Yeah, this is just your movie. He's like, why... And she's like, why couldn't I be in a Meg Ryan movie, meaning like a rom-com?
Then
she's like, or even a porno,
and then that's how
she initiates, like...
That's when she gets de-virginized, that's when they make love.
Yes.
And then Dan insinuated that he should have murdered me after we had sex for the first time so that he never had to talk to me again.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said after they have sex, who we assume is Matthew Lillard in
Not that I should get
Billy,
murdered.
Billy gets,
he should get murdered.
Billy gets murdered after he has sex with Sydney because the killer comes in the door. And I'm like, what a great dodge to not have to call a girl back.
I think we have a mutual friend who probably would have tried that back in the day.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
in his single days, but yeah, wow. I forget. And that ends up being fake blood, whatever.
That's what corn
syrup. Corn syrup.
So I was watching this with Nicole, and she was like, oh, he's the killer. I'm like, he's not the killer. He spent the night in jail when he was previously arrested for the murder. So when that happens, like, look, he just got killed. There's no way he's the murderer. Like, I bought in hook, line, and sinker. I was like, who is it? So, as you can tell, I had a very fun Scream experience this time.
Oh, well, I'm glad that you, like, were that, like, new to it, that you didn't know.
I didn't grow up a big horror film guy, so if I saw this...
Yeah, you didn't even know they were in high school.
No. If I saw this, I thought...
Though, to be fair, none of them looked high school age.
That's why.
Yeah, maybe Jamie Kennedy, but that's
it. Yeah, he was probably the only one that looked up. But there was even a moment I was curious, and I was wrong. They are significantly apart in age, but, like... Nev Campbell was, I guess, when she punched
Courtney Cox.
Your girlfriend.
And I'm sitting there like, they're probably really close in age anyway. Like, once, but they are 10 years apart.
Yeah, and then what, hijinks ensue for the rest of the film, I suppose?
Well, it's kind of...
Well, like, I want to know, when Sydney, they leave her unattended in the kitchen. Like, you think she's not going to get away.
Like, she's just going to stand there, wait for you to come back and kill her.
Well, it's just she, like, drags her dad in the closet. Missing.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of, like, maybe pulling the friggin' duct tape off her dad's mouth, she gets dressed in the Scream costume and calls the guys. Like, I'm sorry, I think my first priority would have been taking the tape off of my dad's mouth. She also did not immediately get her dad out of the closet. He had to come, like, stumbling out.
No,
and then she was like, oh, dad!
It was such an
wow.
interesting ending. I liked it, but you have... I think the cameraman gets killed right when we talk about the delay thing.
Well, yeah, because that's when we realize...
You know what? He deserved it, because he littered. He littered.
That's not a rule in the horror...
It's a rule in my movie. Mine's not going to be a Meg Ryan film. It's going to be a don't litter out your window
film. Don't litter, don't kick the
dog. Or my killer beagle will get you.
I'm going to call him Doofy. Dewey and Courtney Cox going like a moonlight stroll.
Well, they're looking for a car in the woods that got called in.
Which is Sydney's dad's car.
Well, they find out it's
Sydney's dad's car. And it's like, oh, shit.
All the drunk kids almost run them over. All the drunk kids he let drink almost run them off the road because they're going to look for their strung-up dead principal.
And as these things are progressing, I got super, like, I bought into super confused when Jamie Kennedy and Matthew Lillard are like, he did it. No, he did it, kind of. Like, he's the killer. Shoot me. Then it's revealed that it's, like, the both of them. I'm like, oh, man, that makes sense. But I was a little confused, like, all right, I get why this guy did it, Billy, but why did Matthew Lillard do it?
That's where it leads to me. Is I think Matthew Lillard's, his character's more crazy than, like, Billy.
Billy seems to have more motive besides, like, Matthew Lillard's moment seems to be, like, fun.
I think he was just bored and maybe wanted an excuse to get, like, he was like, all right, well, we're going to, sure, I'll go along with your plan, but kill my ex-girlfriend.
I guess
but
so.
That's what,
I mean,
I'm saying. That's more psychopathic. No, there's no emotion involved. It's like, kill people. Yeah, sure. And because the reality for him is not even there. He's sitting there like, did you really call the cops? My parents are going to be so mad at me.
It's
like, it's not even the fact that, like, he realizes he's killing people. He's just like, in the term, when we say antisocial personality, literally anti, like, society, yeah. Which I guess could lead you into SLC punk. But but yeah, it's like, that's more psychotic than, you know, broken home Billy being mad at Sydney's dad.
It's really, really interesting.
Corn syrup. Same stuff they use for pig's blood in Kerry.
Help me, please.
Surprise, Sydney.
Ooh. Ooh. Oh, now, whoa.
What's the matter, Sydney? You look like you've seen a ghost.
Why are you doing this?
It's all part of the game, Sydney.
It's called Guess How I'm Gonna Die!
Fuck you!
No. We already played that game, remember? You lost.
It's a fun game, Sydney. See, we ask you a question, and if you get it wrong, you die.
You get it right, you die.
You're crazy, both of you.
Actually, you prefer the term psychotic.
We'll never get away with this.
Well, no. Tell that to Cotton Weary. You wouldn't believe how easy he was to frame. Watch a few movies, take a few notes. It was fun.
No!
Oh, where are you going?
Why? Why did you kill my mother?
Why?
Why?!
You hear that, Stu? I think she wants a motive. I don't really believe in motive, Sid. I mean, did Norman Bates have a motive?
No.
Did they ever really decide why Hannibal Lecter liked to eat people?
Don't think so.
You see, it's a lot scarier when there's no motive, Sid. We did your mom a favor, Sid. That woman was a slutbag whore who flashed her shit all over town like she was Sharon Stone or something.
Yeah, it would put her out of her misery. Because let's face it, Sidney, your mother was no Sharon Stone.
That motive enough for you?
It's this classic thing you see in horror films or, like, even action films where they just start saying the entire plan to the person they're about to kill. Like, I'm going to kill you anyway, but this is why I did it. It turns out that Billy even, this is the one who killed her mother, right?
Right.
Because her mother was sleeping with his dad, and that's how they
got
divorced.
Yep, and he took Cotton Weary's jacket that he, like, left at a bar. And
I mean, the criminal mastermind a little bit. Well, I guess not totally. And then, as you mentioned, I thought it was funny that she put on the entire costume, like you said, and like...
Yeah, like, what purpose did that serve?
Like, yeah, like, all that time, she could have been, like, untying her dad, but...
Like, let's go, let's run, she
let's
even,
play
like,
dress up.
Yeah, she sets up the entire, like, scream call herself.
Yeah.
Kind of gutsy move by her. Were there stuff you liked about this final scene?
Just playing to the whole Jamie Kennedy thing, like, he gets shot. But he's not dead. He's like, oh, I've never been so happy to be a virgin, you know. And then even to the trope of, oh, the killer's going to come back for one last scare, and Billy pops up and they shoot him again. You know, it's that idea of there are formulas for genres. It's obvious. And they're calling it out on that and kind of flipping it on its head. And that did, in the long run, for, you know, movies after this, it did turn out to say, hey, we can't stick to this formula anymore.
Yeah.
It forced horror movies to get more creative. Think of, like, Cabin in the Woods, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, absolutely.
Like something, it forced more creativity versus like an algebra equation. Stick this for X, stick that for Y, you know?
I thought, like, some notes I wrote on that final scene where, you see where she stuck her fingers, like, in his, like, a hole in his body?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
like,
we'll get her
hole.
Pinned. That was actually...
Smart move. I thought it was cool that when the TV is dropped, it's Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, on the TV. Mm-hmm. Also, this is a really stupid comment, and I expect you to probably cut this out. All I keep thinking of...
No, I'm leaving it.
...is that if they had... Because when we put our home, we had to change everything to GFI outlets. So it's like, if they had a GFI outlet, that wouldn't have electrocuted them.
Good to know. Good to know for our electrical whizzes out there in the audience. Oh, I thought this line was interesting and surprisingly topical. Movies don't create psychos. Movies make psychos more creative.
Yeah.
Sure, that's why everyone thinks that they could, you know, be the killer or get away with murder, because he's solid in a movie.
Yeah, but no, everyone forgets that movie had a pre-planned ending to fit that perfectly, you know?
Recently, like, there's been some senators saying, you know, don't have violent video games because...
Don't even get me started on that.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's... Yeah. I'm not saying, like, where one falls here or there on that kind of stuff, but it is somewhat something, even back then, they were talking about, like, oh, violent movies are making people violent.
Yeah, and they also tried it with heavy metal. They also tried, you know, it's like, you know, that whole Tipper Gore thing. And then...
So anything else you guys want to say about the ending? Or anything else about Scream in general?
I think we covered most of it. Can you think of any cheesy facts I told you that I forgot to say?
No,
you can pass them off as your own. I won't get mad.
No, I was just going to say, like, how, like, this was, for the horror genre, like, we kind of said it before, it's just a really kind of a watermark of, like how I said, it forced change and it forced creativity in horror movies to come, because, like I said, it kind of nailed down the tropes, and it kind of said, okay, this is predictable, you know, and how, like, Jamie Kennedy and all them, those characters were able to survive and navigate that whole storyline, because, oh no, this, we're following a killer that's warped by horror movies, he's going to obey those horror movies' rules. So now it's, by making that almost, I don't want to say comical, but bringing that point to light, horror movies after this said, okay, we gotta put some thought into this.
Yeah, no, for sure. It almost upped the ante, because, again, and not that these are necessarily bad films, but the genre is kind of descending into rentals that...
It was becoming
very,
forgotten,
very
yeah.
tropey and very... and this kind of restored maybe a little bit of an art to it. Quickly, I was going to ask, is the mask at all based on, like, the Edvard Munch Scream painting?
I have no idea, but, like, the mouth and stuff,
it's
is
very
similar
looking, but I've never heard anyone say that. Yeah, I don't know. I always thought, like, it was inspired by that painting, but I guess not, considering it's just, like, a basic mask they found.
Yeah, I'm curious. Is there, like, a history to this?
I doubt it.
So, Rotten Tomatoes, 79% audience, 79% critics. So, very popular, especially in the horror genre. But where do you guys rate Scream? Remember, we're doing a A+ to F scale these days on High School Slumber Party.
Well, I'll give it an A. I mean, it's a black comedy, horror, slasher. You got your gore. You got the classic elements of a whodunit. And it's got the total package.
Yeah, no. I mean, I can't argue with that. How about you, Dan?
I would have liked to see this as, like, the uncut thing that we were talking about. I'm curious how bloody and gory it could have gotten.
But I think the fact that it's not super bloody and gory is, you know, that might have made it cheesier. They kept it.
True.
You know, I think it worked out.
True.
It worked out.
Yeah.
I feel there are better horror movies out there, but this one was incredibly creative, especially for the time. And like I said, how it influenced everything after it. I'd give it a solid, like B.
I'm going to give this film an A-. I really enjoyed it, especially, again, it felt like a fresh film to me.
Right.
It had a lot of good high school elements, and I just, like, as a junkie, obviously, of this high school genre, I love how it just openly discussed it in the film and used it, you know, to play with our minds. Unfortunately, I was going to ask you, Autumn, but you've already told me, how are these sequels? You say they suck.
They do.
So I probably won't continue with this franchise.
Well, maybe your buddy will do the third one.
Oh, yeah.
Is he due to their own already? Yeah.
I don't think he has yet. I mean, I know one thing with his podcast is that of all the genres, horror has the most third
ones.
Oh,
of course,
so
yeah.
It's a lot to dig. It's a lot to dig there. Yeah, no, but I really, really enjoyed Scream. Again, I'm a horror novice, but this is obviously one of the greatest hits here, and I think it definitely belongs in the class of, like, when people say, oh, I love Scream,
absolutely.
I love Nightmare on Elm Street,
just for how it affected everything afterwards.
Also in teen films as well. All right, so what Scream-themed sleeping bag are you bringing to the Slumber Party?
Oh, huh. I don't know.
I'm going to do the Henry Winkler zip-up flayed body.
Gross.
Oh, you could do one that's like the knife. That would be kind of cool,
That's cool. Yeah. Yeah, I got to think about that one.
Not just the generic Scream smock sleeping bag.
Dan, Autumn, will you ever be interested in getting those Nev Campbell pajamas, those Pioneer pajamas, maybe for the slumber party?
No, but maybe Tatum's pajamas, the clouds. I actually had those.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't mind having them again. Yeah.
I guess you could also make pajamas of the... Why am I forgetting the
of what?
What's like the killer's real name?
Oh, Billy?
No, not Billy pajamas. No, what do we call him?
Like Scream.
Ghostface.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's just, it's just a generic just like robe.
Like, well, yeah, it's the robe. Black robe.
It's got like the kind of, you know, like, I don't want to call them gothic girls, but.
I know what you mean. Hot Topic-esque.
Cloak? Yeah, who wear like the sleeves. They're like, they're like flares, but as sleeves.
Wizard robe.
All right, Dan, you've mentioned it earlier, but the new thing we're doing here is rent two movies, get one free. We've rented Scream. You guys were all in the rental store together. You get to pick one movie each that we're also going to rent on our slumber party night.
Well, just because they mention it so much, I feel like you would have to go with another classic horror just because it was fed into it. So maybe, no, yeah, Friday the 13th, because you got to learn who the killer is.
Oh, I love that, right? Because, like, Jason isn't the killer.
Jason is not the killer.
Friday the 13th.
We just kind of ruined it for anybody who hasn't seen it, but...
Sorry.
Well, if they saw Scream, then now they know.
That's true, yeah.
That is true, yeah. If you saw this movie, we're ahead of that point.
It's fair to say Scream ruins some horror films for you, because they do give away a lot of stuff from... But that's okay. There are very few people like me who are watching a movie like Scream or Halloween, like, and oh my god, that happens? You know, I think most people have seen these films. How about you, Autumn? What's the third film we're renting from the video store
today? Well, I'm obviously going to pick that Tom Cruise movie so we can pause it just right and see his penis.
I love it. We are watching Scream, Friday the 13th, and then All the Right Moves to pause it to see if we can see Tom Cruise's penis. I love it. All right, anything else you guys want to mention, or where people can find you if they so choose, or anything else you want to say?
Oh yeah, follow me on Instagram, XO Glamour Zombie.
I'm also on Instagram.
No, you're not.
Well, sometimes.
Most of the time, it's me forcing him to post.
I've been found on Instagram, BrokenPanda87.
Where'd you come up with that name? Someone asked me.
It was totally random.
Clearly.
When I got my first Xbox, you needed a gamer tag, and I just pulled two random words together, and it was Broken Panda, and it was Taken, so I had to add 87 for my birthday.
That's really funny. Is that how you came up with the Glamour Zombie?
Oh, no, I definitely not. I definitely am not a gamer. Sorry.
You did buy me this Xbox.
I did.
And you regretted it ever since.
You guys both have, and no criticism, you guys both have Instagrams that could translate well as like AIM screen names.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's not like Dan_Ferrara.
Yeah, not the official with the blue check mark.
Which I love because, you know, I feel like we're not creative enough.
We never left high school. We're still using.
Pretty much still high schoolers over here at the Ferrara household.
I might have asked you this, but what were your like AIM names?
Well, I had several.
Give them.
I know Naughty Little Audie was my screen name at one point in time.
Naughty Little Audie.
That just sounds like so many people. That sounds like Chris Hansen was waiting at your house for the guys who are answering that.
How about you, Dan?
It was supposed to be. Okay, so I was.
Pickle 4434. Yeah. That was one.
But as we learned from Gleaming the Cube, I used to be really into skateboarding, and for a minute, I really liked Black Label decks. So it was Black Label 87, except I misspelt label. So it was Black Lable.
Black Lable.
I think Sleep to Dream, I had that. I loved changing my AOL screen name, so I had
dream.
So many. Yeah, it was a Fiona Apple song.
Oh,
I always loved Chris Carroll's screen names.
It was the number two, though.
Yeah.
Oh. Number two screen.
Because Chris would change screen names all the time to try and mess with people. And you would just be like King Carl the Ninth and still like just random shit like that.
He's still like, yeah, his Instagram shows Krastifa.
Krastifa.
any others, Autumn, that you can recall?
Well, I had XX Little Audie XX for like ever. That was.
And do people call you Audie?
Yeah, that was like my high school nickname, actually.
There you go. We're learning more high school stuff.
We're obsessed with putting the X's, like the XX
thing XO, in there.
Yeah.
XO,
that's actually still my Hotmail email address for all my, like,
Hotmail.
Whenever I have to, like, give an email address for something that I know is just going to be spam.
You got some Hotmail for naughty little audience.
So if you all want to send me spam email, that's where to send it to.
I know I can answer this by going back, but do you say it as XO Glamour Zombie? Or do you say
Zo.
Kiss Hug?
No, it's just XO Glamour Zombie. And that's just, I used to have a blog that was Glamour Zombie.
Gotcha.
And at one point in time, I owned the Glamour Zombie domain, but
oh,
then when I made it,
you are a smart businesswoman.
Well, I let it lapse, and now I don't have it
well,
anymore.
Well, you gotta assume if you're gonna do any sort of social networking empire, you should probably own the domain
yeah,
name.
Yeah, but I let it lapse. But when I went to make an Instagram, somebody already had it, so I had to add an XO just
gotcha.
To have it.
I don't even like see XO as Kiss Hug or Hug Kiss anymore, you know?
I used to always think of, like, Chinese dynasties.
Well, that's actually what, yeah, that's actually what it's for.
Chinese dynasties. Chinese dynasties, Glamour Zombie. Well, thank you guys so
General
much.
Zeus,
thank you for having us.
Yeah, always fun.
I'm really excited we got to do this.
Yeah, always fun.
Well, hopefully we can usher in a new Halloween season next year with another high school Halloween
I say,
film.
You know where to come for the horror movie talk.
Any favorites for next year's film? Any early leads? Anything I should save?
I have some that are non-horror related.
Well, we know that, Dan.
Yeah.
I have a Dan list.
There we
worry.
Go. So
I don't know, but I'll keep you posted.
Let me know, please.
We watch a lot, so as I come across them, I'll...
I mean, not that you'll only be on Autumn for horror films, you know, I'd love to come back, but try to think of what we'll open up next Halloween season with. And happy Halloween,
guys.
Oh,
I gotta really think of it then.
Happy Halloween, guys.
Season's greetings, everyone.
No one put any razor blades in apples.
Season's
Happy Friday the 13th.
Ooh, spooky. So big thank you to Dan and Autumn for inviting me into their home and helping me celebrate, and all of us really, a spooky Friday the 13th. Now, after we recorded, Autumn gave me, and by default all you slumberers, an awesome surprise. I guess it's in her name. It's the fall season we're coming into. But she found that video she talked about earlier in the episode where she was of high school age and she recorded her own version of Scream with her friends. Now, I'm not going to play the entire 15 minutes of it, but here's a little snippet. I think you're going to enjoy it.
Hello? Yes?
What number is this?
Well, what number are you trying to reach?
I don't know.
Well, I think you have the wrong number. It happens. Hello?
I'm going to call your name and I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that name?
Popcorn.
Popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I don't eat popcorn at the movie.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What video?
Just some scary movies.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite?
I don't know.
You have to have a favorite. What comes to mind?
Halloween, you know, the one with the guy in the white mask that stalks babysitters. What's yours?
Yeah. That's the one where the guy has knives or fingers.
Yeah, Freddy Krueger.
Freddy, that's great. I like that movie.
Those dress suck. stupid.
Oh, shut up. I've been telling you a long time.
Oh. I get it.
Better get it.
Oh, this isn't cool anymore. Who is this?
Can you see me?
Where are you? What do you want from me?
They never make it out here, meaning the police. It's a clear out in the middle of nowhere.
Well, I'm gonna call them.
I don't care. I just want to see what your insides look like.
What? What did you say?
Your insides look like.
What? Look, you had your fun now, so I think you better just leave, or else.
Or else what?
Or else my boyfriend will be here at any second. He'll be pissed when he finds out.
I'm sorry, you don't have a boyfriend.
I lied. I do have a boyfriend. He'll be here any second, so you better have hands clean.
Sure.
I'll kick your ass!
Scared. I'm shaking in my boots.
You better just leave.
His name would be Steve.
You know his name?
We're on the patio block. Funny, you're the killer. Did it in jump to the sequel. I'm afraid that was the wrong answer. Fucking for years, there's no photograph, but I'm afraid poor Steve is out.
No! No!
Final question, are you ready?
Please, leave me alone.
Answer the question I will. And I will, what door am I at?
What? You just got here, you little bitch! Oh my god,
That was amazing. I don't think my life will ever be the same after seeing that. Hope you enjoyed the snippet. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Autumn and her friends for putting that together way back when and sharing that with us today. That was pretty awesome. Proof right there that she's been a fan of this movie if an hour or so of her talking about it with her husband Dan wasn't enough proof. Again, that was awesome. Big thank you. And again, thank you to the two of them for helping us usher in our sophomore year. First almost sophomore year. It's a big deal. Now, we're going to get into some Halloween films a little later in our sophomore year, like in a couple weeks. But next week's film, while not a Halloween film, it is a fall film, especially if you're in the United States, because fall means football season as well, especially high school football. And our film next week is Varsity Blues.
In America, we have laws. And it's just accepted that as a member of American society, you will live by these laws. In West Canaan, Texas, there is another society which has its own laws.
We woke up in the Twilight Zone.
West Canaan, sex and football, it's all there is.
Hey, Mom, let's roll!
Woo! Lance, can I have your autograph? Right here?
I tell you, these players are just running around flawless.
Earl, my boy's too much trouble for you.
Oh, no, Coach.
What the hell are you doing?
Changing. Oh, come on, I'm wearing underwear. Does it really bother you?
I can handle it.
Tell me this insanity's over in a few weeks.
Five more games. No more football, no more Kilmer, and if I get into Brown, no more West Canaan.
Woo! Damn!
Come on, keep your shirt on, Billy Bob.
Got your strip club, man! I'm here to work!
Isn't this better than football?
This is better than anything.
We do things around here my way. You're going to be second string all your life, boy. This game is 48 minutes for the next 48 years of your life.
The hell with Gilbert.
This is your opportunity.
For
here.
You.
Playing football in West Canaan may have been the opportunity of your lifetime, but I don't want your life.
You disobey me, and I will bury you. I know about your scholarship to Brown.
Only way we're going back out in the fields without you. Kilmer said, 48 minutes, the next 48 years of our lives.
I say we go out there and we'll leave it all out on the field.
We got the rest of our lives to be mediocre, but we have the opportunity to play like gods. Let's be heroes.
So your homework, of course, will be to watch Varsity Blues, and we have a first-time guest coming on the Slumber Party next week, Kirkland Shepherd. Can't wait to talk to Kirk about this film, Varsity Blues. It was a film that I saw when I was young, and I can't wait to watch it again, because I'm curious how it's aged, but like I said, can't wait to talk about it. And of course, just want to remind you that you can check out all the other great shows that I'm partners with, I guess, on the Cage Club Podcast Network. That's cageclub.me, that's cageclub.me. I bring it up because Kirk had been on my previous show, P.S. I Love Hoffman, which I host with the Foodie Films Man himself, Kyle Reinfried. He was on our Most Wanted Man episode there, and I've been wanting to bring him on here for a while. Happy we were able to book him. So again, you definitely want to watch Varsity Blues, and you definitely want to tune in next week. Okay, so I want to get serious for a moment. This week we passed the anniversary of September 11th, the September 11th attacks, of course. Being a New Yorker, living in New York, it's always a somber day. I bring it up on this show because I was actually a freshman in high school when it happened. The first couple weeks of my freshman year were, I mean, the whole year, the whole real high school experience, but I think it was, you know, the first or second week of school that this happened, but it was just marred by this horrible tragedy. And I just wanted to take a moment to remember, you know, all those who lost their lives and just like the moment. And it doesn't get any easier as the anniversary passes. So again, just wanted to take this moment out for something that happened while I was in high school. It's hard to pivot off of that, honestly, but hope you enjoyed the episode today. Again, follow us on social media. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, follow us on, again, I want to create that MySpace, but no, follow us on Twitter, and thank you so much, everything you guys do, all the support you give me, all the love I get from the slumberers out there really keeps me going, and keeps me watching these high school films. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much, guys. I leave you with a song that was in the film Scream. Alice Cooper, an old favorite of ours here in High School Slumber Party. School's out. Later, dudes.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.